June 6, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been doing little projects. I was fooling with some Tapper Whisper beacons, and so I had only one working for 30 meters, and I got the 40 and the 20 meter ones working this week. So it's kind of fun because it's very low power and has amazing coverage around the world, at least with a good antenna. Next on the list, we have Greg ZL3IX, shown as mic muted. Then we have Henry PA0HJA, shown as recording in a way. And then we have Mike AA8K, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Bert. Good morning, good afternoon, evening, all. Nothing to report this week. We're virtually out of lockdown now, so a lot of my customers want to talk and been visiting colleagues, meeting some new colleagues for the first time, and getting in contact with customers. But I'm afraid, apart from still quite a lot of people bringing up old systems that have been sitting on cupboards or shelves for a while, and looking for some help getting those working, which has been a bit of fun on the emails. Apart from that, that's been my week. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, I had a person that upgraded their software and thought they'd ruined it, and gave him my set of instructions and a link to my video, and he got it was an Anon 100, and he got it successfully upgraded to Protocol 2. Next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Yeah, nothing too much to report here. Really not too much radio time, so I'll just turn it back to you, Dave.
Fine business. And next on the list, we have Bob, E3GKM, shown as recording in a way. And then we have Dave, KD0EAG. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello, everyone. I just thought I'd poke my nose in here for the first time in a very long time. I listen offline pretty regularly, but just thought I'd try connecting up tonight. And that's all. Over.
Well, fine business, Dave. And I forgot that after Bill got the server running last week, I started pulling pages and images off the wiki, and I've gotten halfway through it. So, but it's interesting because it makes me go through all the links, and there are a lot of bits and corners of the wiki I'd forgotten about. So it's quite interesting. So that's the end of the list, and we're open for general discussion.
Can you copy the HTML pages off the wiki with a wget from the top and let it just scavenge all over the place?
What I'm doing is going to a page and using curl to pull it and save it on my machine. And then for the pictures, I just make sure I get each of the pictures. The only confusing part is the wiki makes a low resolution and a high resolution, so I have to be careful which one I get.
I suspect curl probably has it, but wget, I believe, has a mirror option where you tell him start here, and he'll go to everything that he can find from there, but he won't go up, he'll just go down, and you can try and use that to try and grab a mirror of something.
That would be good. I just wanted to have, in case our wiki breaks again, we'd have enough that we could rebuild the pages for the history without the wiki.
Understood. So, Phil, is Western Australia more open than the rest of Australia, or is all of Australia pretty much back to or something that appears to be normal?
No, we seem to be more open. Well, we are more open than the rest of Australia, but we're still shut our borders, which is, I guess, a little bit frustrating that you can't fly or drive in and out of Western Australia. But we're pretty well, yeah, I think we're the first to be fully open. I mean, all the restaurants open this week, cinemas, gyms, etc. So I think the numbers are in a restaurant are up to 300 people now. So, but interstate travel is still not possible. So that's, I guess that's the main concern for people at the moment.
Okay, because here, I mean, nothing formal has been said, but I'll be amazed if we're back in the office anytime this calendar year.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. No, we're back in the, well, we're back in the virtual, well, not the virtual office. We've actually got a small office we're using now for some of the new staff. But no, it's pretty well back to normal. You can holiday, you know, you can travel all over the state. There used to be borders within the in Western Australia, but they've been removed, and you're really encouraged to travel within the state and you know, book a holiday, etc.
Yeah, I don't think we had any formal actual state border closings here, which actually you may not be able to do. At least the state governments might not be able to do, but I do know, like in Rhode Island, the state police were chasing down people with New York plates and saying, you know, you have to self-quarantine upon entering the state for 2 weeks. And I think Texas greeted airplanes at airports from New York and other places with questionnaires of, you know, where are you staying? And, you know, you realize you have to self-quarantine for 14 days. And, you know, we may or may not be by to check and see that you're there.
I think it was up until last week, if you went into a restaurant, I think they allowed, you know, a maximum of 20 people, and they actually took your name and contact details just in case. And also there's an app you can, provided by the government, you can download on your mobile phone, which, you know, does a Bluetooth search to see who you've been adjacent to. I think it's for, if you're adjacent to somebody for 15 minutes, it registers, and I think there's, you know, many, many millions of people who have downloaded that app.
Well, very surprised at that. I don't know. It could be extra attuned to surveillance state problems.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first the concern, but the app's actually open source, and it's been, you know, analyzed multiple times, and people have confirmed, yeah, there's no data being. There's no tracking on it. There's no logging of, you know, where people are. It's just really a matter of that if you succumb to the virus, then they can actually check, well, who you've been in contact with for that period of time.
No, I see. But that'll only work for folks with Bluetooth LE phones, I suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Flip phones don't count, huh?
No, but I may actually have a beloved Android Nexus 5 that had a bulging battery problem a few weeks ago, and I was crushed at, oh God, I have to get a new phone now, and decided to go try and change the battery out on it, and that worked great, and I'm thrilled to have my Nexus 5 back in fighting form.
Say, Dave, you've entered the world of old people with old phones.
Well, it suits me too, frankly. I have lots of them, but I don't want to give up my phone. I don't even know precisely what it is. I think it's not a Nexus. It's, I don't know what it's, yeah, you know what it is, but I don't remember what it is. My strategy is just not to use it.
I have an odd strategy with mine is, I've actually never given anybody the phone number on it, so it's always entertaining when it rings.
Yeah, I get aggravated if anybody, the few people, there's only a very few people I share mine with, and all the rest are, and the few who have something they can hold over my head, like my wife, but otherwise I don't give mine out.
So, Bill, did they give you a phone at work for your when you're on call?
Yeah, I have a modern iPhone for that, and Yeah, that one is a particular annoyance because it sits on the nightstand at night and on weeks when I'm on call. The funny thing on that one is they wanted me to, or the general practice is you use your own phone for this stuff and to connect to our systems at work, you have to install the corporate spyware, which has a self-destruct capability in it where, you know, corporate can, you know, go wipe all the data on the phone. And I had a bit of an issue with that and refused to install it and said, you know, if you guys want me on call, then you guys have to provide the phone. And, you know, it's a, you know, they said, okay, you know, most people don't want to carry two phones. So I live with carrying two phones. In fact, I carry three phones. I also have a flip phone I carry around still.
Do you have trouble getting SIM cards that fit that?
I haven't. I have problems with, on the flip phone, I have problems with AT&T turning off networks on me because they, oh, a year or two ago, they turned off the 2G network, which required a new phone. And I saw a note from them where it looks like the 3G network's going to get turned off in 2021.
Really? Wow.
Say, Phil, you'd asked about a call for papers for DCC, and we're still working on it. Probably within a week or so, they'll be posted, the call for papers.
Okay, thanks very much, Dave. I've been attending a lot of virtual U.S. Seminars the last few weeks, so getting used to being up all night, not a problem.
Yeah, I told you about the guy in Eastern Australia that he's one of the board of directors of Tapper, and we had him for about an hour, and it was his midnight, and he said, "Now I'm going to bed."
Yeah, I found that, but I must admit, there's conferences that there's no way I would normally be able to go to, and the quality of the video and the audio and the presentations are really excellent. So it's been a one plus for me.
Dave and I attended the HAMSAI conference, which was in late March, I believe. Wasn't that right, Dave?
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah, and that worked out fabulously, especially the live eclipse in Iceland that just happened to pop up. Or not eclipse, I mean the live
aurora.
Aurora, that just popped up right at the end from one of the aurora tracking networks. That you couldn't have done that better.
I have a general question. Folks on this conference here, how many Ethernet ports do you have on your various switches? I'm running, what was it, four 8-port switches and one 5-port switch, and I'm thinking of replacing the whole mess with one giant 48-port switch. I'm sort of wondering if although the pricing on these things gets a little ugly.
I've got them all over the place. I'm not even sure I know.
Yeah, I got the same bill. I got a 16-port next to my ADSL modem, but then, you know, sprinkled through the office and the lounge room and the shack.
Yeah, I have a 16 and I think 3 5s.
Well, you have to manage it to every now and then when the power fails and the switches don't come up in the right order, I end up with somehow with a packet storm, it seems like, and until you recycle everything and then cycle it back up slowly, all hell breaks loose. And I don't know, found a Netgear, I guess, has a 52 port gizmo. You know, it's four of the ports are SFPs, but you know, it's got 48 RJ45s that it's only $250, which I think I might go that way.
Seems reasonable.
I used to see on the Netgear ports, or Netgear switches, as they'd get old, I've seen them go crazy and have packet storms. With some regularity in the past, but once it got past the 100 megabit ones, I haven't seen that so much.
Yeah, these are all gigabit, and this is seems to happen in the near vicinity of power failures or, you know, power on-off type event or off-on event. So it, I near a mix of Netgear and some other guy's gigabit switches.
I've got some Ubiquiti stuff that I really haven't put into my network, but I was kind of planning to. Some of the newer edge switches that have a little management in them have some failover strategies, and I actually have two network connections, and was thinking about trying that. It's probably buying myself grief, but it would be nice to be sure that one of them's always running.
Yeah, I've actually got two, well, if I count wireless, I've got actually three network uplinks I can use, so that's actually part of what I'd like to do is get some failover stuff going, but that I would do with I also have some of the Ubiquiti stuff, and actually found a very interesting article where right now I'm running a Ubiquiti behind the AT&T fiber residential gateway, which has all sorts of problems with SSH I need to fix, and I saw where somebody's actually written a little proxy for the authentication part so you can actually connect the Ubiquiti gizmo to the output of the optical terminator on the AT&T, and then hang the gateway off one of the Ubiquiti ports and run a little proxy to send just the authentication packets over to the stupid AT&T box.
Sounds interesting. The only trouble with Ubiquiti is finding out what all it will do. The Ubiquiti documentation always seems to be the last place to look. You pretty much have to go to the online discussions and stuff to know how it works, or even a clone. I've had to go to a clone to see what it was really about because their documentation was so off the wall bad sometimes.
There's documentation. Isn't that what Google's for?
Yeah, I know.
No, I share your frustration with the Ubiquiti docs. You know, it's like, no, I didn't know it would do that. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah, and the default setup is often wildly different than you'd imagine it would be.
Yeah, given all that, though, I got to say I'm fairly happy with my little edge router light gizmo.
I like their stuff. Yeah, I do. I have a little box to go on the outside of my house I've kind of wanted to put up. It's designed to be externally mounted, and it has, I think, three or four ports and PoE, but I really haven't been doing much outdoors these days.
Is that a Wi-Fi gizmo of some sort?
No, this is a wired, Ethernet, as I recall. I haven't looked at it lately. It's an Ethernet, I think it's a PoE device designed to go, you know, be mounted somewhere outdoors. And you mount it kind of with the jacks facing down, not surprisingly. And then you can plug things into it outside when you need an occasional Ethernet port outdoors. And I always want to do experiments in my side yard. And I was going to get a guy to set some of this stuff up for me, but he's kind of been scarce the last few months. He told me he'd get back to me when the plague is over.
I see. I did see some outdoor gear for, I was actually looking at fixed point wireless ISPs, and I currently have a fiber line and a DSL line. I was thinking replacing the slow DSL line with a wireless ISP type thing set up with a failover type thing, because I get much better performance out of the wireless than I would the DSL. The DSL is atrocious these days.
Well, my DSL actually that I'm using at this moment seems awful since I finally got the best I can get. I can't get a fiber right to the house, but I can get I'm using MediaCom, but it works really well. It's got for my other line, it's got a full drops worth of, I don't know, it's the DOCSIS 3.1, I think, type standard, where they bind a whole lot of 6 megabit channels together, you know, baseband channels, the full, however the maximum number is. So you get about a gigabyte, maybe more.
That's not DSL, is it? Or that sounds like cable.
That's this cable thing. That was my only other alternative. But I have an old 6 megabit DSL also, 6 or 8, somewhere in there. And those are my options here. I've got both of them, but neither of them are perfect.
Yeah, I would suspect that, well, at least downstream, I bet the cable's fairly good. The a bit over 10,000 feet from the CO, so the best I can do for DSL is about 2 megabit.
Yeah, there's the cable one measures, you know, to the extent I can measure it with online tools, it's really fast. But how it holds up, I got it for my wife, really. And it's quite impressive. I don't know if I compete with somebody else, you know, upstream somewhere, but I've been amazingly happy with it. I have always been kind of anti-cable, but it seems to work very well with the group that's here.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I always felt the telephone companies would have to do the cable companies, but the telephone companies are now equally evil, and they've actually turned into cable TV companies too. So they're all. You'd rather deal with none of them if you could. But I've been happy with the performance on the fiber. I really do get a gig up and a gig down, and actually with some work stuff, I can actually do downloads that'll saturate the gigabit line, so that's sort of neat to watch. But the fact that it's symmetric, I get the same up and down speeds as opposed to the asymmetric, for me, it's a big deal with work.
Yeah, none of what I've got symmetric, but it's a whole lot, the cable is a whole lot better than what I've had in the ever before. So for the moment, until somebody, the only problem is the fiber just doesn't come around the corner to me. They've got a pop over, one street over from me, but I live at a cul-de-sac, and they kind of have to loop back on themselves, and I guess they couldn't be bothered.
Do you have underground utilities or above ground?
They're all underground.
Yeah, I would be trying to figure out how my neighborhood ended up with fiber from AT&T, and I suspect what happened is they, as part of the agreement on one of their mergers, they had to roll out more fiber to the home, to so many more, you know, locations or what have you. And it seems like, at least the ones I've found around here, is they've done them in all the neighborhoods with above ground utilities and none of the below ground utility neighborhoods. I suspect it's because the install cost is lower.
That might account for a lot of things, but I think they've pulled cable or fiber quite far into my neighborhood. The pops are, if they're where I think they are, they're halfway down the other street. But there's a little place to put in your address with one of the providers, local providers, and I do it pretty regularly, about every month or two, say, please, bring higher speed stuff around to my house. But they always say, well, someday soon, maybe.
That's a bummer. But, I consider myself lucky because I was really planning on getting cable. And then literally, the week I was going to call a cable company, a flyer showed up on the availability of fiber.
Well, I think I'll run back to work. Good to chat. Stay well and catch you all next week. 73.
73.
So anything, Phil, good to hear from you. Have a good weekend.
User disconnected from your channel.
Well, Dave, did you end up having single board computer problems?
Well, yeah. Actually, as I'm on here, I've been trying to check the EMMC flash to see if it was the culprit or if the if all my problems are really with the board itself. I suspect it's really the board, though I find some errors on the EMMC when I plug it into my main machine. But I have a feeling I've kind of cooked this Odroid somehow, made it, I don't know, but it's all right. I've got plenty of single board computers, and I've been trying to order something all week from Odroid, and I couldn't. Apparently, nobody else has been interested because they hadn't figured out what it was wrong, why my cart wouldn't didn't work, and it turned out it was because I ordered this one mini PCIe to PCIe converter that they put up just this weekend, and turned out that was they had some problems in that, and then so I put in I got that straightened out with them and added a new Odroid into the order, somewhat to my regret. I was feeling guilty for spending too much money, but I thought I'd better.
Well, I have a story. I was this afternoon driving, and you should know that I have a tip-up antenna, electrical tip-up antenna. And as I was driving along, the plastic cover popped off, and I was unable to get back and pick it up. So I have a nice little motor, but all the gears and grease and everything are open to the weather.
Not good. Huh. So the cover's gone for good?
Yeah. I was trying to think of a way to replace it, but it's not like a level, it's like a curved aerodynamic kind of little box, and it's not flat on any part of it.
Maybe the manufacturer would sell you a replacement.
That's possible.
Because if it popped off for you, it's probably not unheard of for anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but I'll have to check and see.
It's a diamond antenna, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Have you ever had one of those, Bill?
No. Much to my annoyance, still taking white off and then not running with the radios as much as I used to. I thought of getting that when I got the truck, but never got round to it.
Well, I just use my favorite antenna on it, but the tip-up device is made by Diamond.
Yeah, no, I remember from you had pointed me to it as what you were using. It would be a potential solution on my truck. What I have up there now is a little, short 2-meter 440, but it's you can tip it way down, so mine is typically riding at about 85 degrees, 80 degrees or something like that. So it's almost parallel to the roof of the truck, which isn't optimal for radiation, I suspect.
Probably not. This has been good. I've had this little tip-up for maybe 12 or 15 years, but and I have rebuilt it. At one time, the internal parts got out of whack, and I was able to realign them and put them back and re-grease it. And so it went along, but then today the cover popped off, so I don't. And I even thought, just a minute, on my way back home, oh, I could ask Dave to 3D print me something, and then I realized there's no flat surfaces.
It doesn't have to be much, but you can add a flat surface, perhaps. But on the other hand, getting it just right might be tricky. On the other hand, somebody else might have done it and have already put the design files out there somewhere. That usually works better if somebody else figured it out.
Well, I was thinking, you know, probably the part costs a couple of bucks, and because it's a piece of plastic, and there is no other than weather cover, that's the only purpose, and keeping the grease on the inside of that part. So it isn't like it has mounting brackets or any of that on the inside. They're on the other part that I still have.
Don't imagine you could cable tie a big red drinking cup over it for the time being.
Well, I could do that. I'll have to look at it again, but I could probably put the mechanism inside something else too, so who knows.
There's probably a better solution than that, than what I suggested.
Well, Mike suggested either hose clamps and inner tubes or heat shrink.
Yeah, everybody's got their favorites.
You say it'd probably look uglier than Sin, but you could saran wrap it.
That might flop a little bit in the breeze.
Well, paint it and make it a flag.
Oh, duct tape is Mike's next solution.
Your truck's always, you keep it in good shape, and almost anything wouldn't look right. But call up the company and see if you can, if they've got one lying around, they'll sell you.
Yep, I should probably do that.
That's your beast down there?
That's it. And it's the part, you see there's a curved line that goes through the bearing button, and it's the part on the top side of that.
Well, looking at their manual, the mount bracket body has a part number. So it says, confirm all parts in the package. If any of the mount bracket is broken or missing, contact RF Parts with the part number.
Oh, well, then I'll have to give them a call and see if I can purchase that piece.
If you look at the install manual on the PDF, the first page on the bottom right has a big exploding diagram of the what looks like the bottom part of it there.
Well, I have a task to do and figure that out. See if they can help me out.
Yeah, that'd be neat if you get the part for it, and you probably get a bit of satisfaction of being able to rebuild it.
Well, I've also rebuilt the control switch assembly with a toggle switch instead. It had a two button switches, which wore out, and so I created a box with a a on off on toggle switch, and that works very nicely. I also modified the cigar plug to be a set of power poles.
Well, I see. Well, those are fairly straightforward modifications. Refabricating that bit of plastic would be hard, I think.
That would be the hard part, yes. And if they have them available, well, that would be very helpful. It's one of those things that'd be kind of hard to mold it, because it's curved in two dimensions, and it has a little like a U groove where the plastic fits in. There's a center piece of plastic that fits in the other two because it needs to be waterproof.
It's worth a shot, you know. See if they can help you with it.
Oh well, I'm gonna take off and then to get working on dinner here, but. Good chatting with you, and good look on parts procurement there, Dave.
Yep. Well, I'll have another story some other evening. 73, and talk to you all later.
73.